My text today is from Genesis chapter 38, verses 6 through 30. But I'm not going to read them. That's something you can read on your own at home. Because some of what goes on, what the scriptures depict here, is not something that is always suitable. It's okay for an adult Bible study, but not necessarily with children. But the message of it is important, and that's what I want to talk about today. So I would encourage you to read it. Because I entitled this, God Blesses Faithful Mothers No Matter Their Past. So often when it's Mother's Day, over the years, you know, we focus on, you know, God's ideal woman, you know, mothers, and we speak in a kind of idealistic fashion. Sometimes we focus upon, you know, moms, this is what you need to do, but we tend to kind of idolize mom. And when you go into the gift shops, you know, and you're going to buy a card, they're usually pretty flowery. But, you know, not all moms have had it easy. Not all moms have lived up to the mom, good mom image. And yet they need to be recognized and encouraged as well. And that's why I wanted to deal with this passage today. Because it deals with imperfect people making bad decisions that impact. And yet, in spite of that, the difference God can make in someone's life. This passage in Genesis goes back to the days of the patriarchs. You know, Abraham is already gone. Isaac has already gone. But Isaac's sons, Jacob and Esau, you know, they were twins born at the same time. Not identical twins by any stretch. But Jacob and Esau, neither one were what you would call your ideal man. Esau was one of these guys that just lived for whatever felt good. He took nothing serious. And he pretty much, the scripture says, lived as a godless man. Jacob, on the other hand, was more easygoing, you know, stayed close to home. He was kind of a mama's boy. And he listened to her influence. And partially through her influence, he became well known as a deceiver. Someone who could lie and deceive to get what he wants. And he deceived his father. And because of that, he had to flee. And he went to live with his uncle Laban. And he got what he deserved. Laban pulled some tricks on him and deceived him. And out of that, Jacob ends up having four wives, only one of which he loved, and 12 sons. But he further deceived his uncle Laban and made himself wealthy and then decided to go home. And after he's home, you know, he wrestles with God and he finally comes around to being what God wants him to be. But unfortunately, still being human, Jacob is one of these people who had his favorites. And out of his 12 sons, there were two that were born by the only wife he loved. They were his younger sons, Joseph and Benjamin. And he loved Joseph so much that he favored him. And the other boys hated him after a while. They just despised him. And one day he goes out to the wilderness to where his brothers are tending sheep, all but the younger one, Benjamin. And they decide to kill him. But one of the brothers talks them out of it, hoping to rescue Joseph. But while he's away doing whatever he had to do, a caravan comes by of people who were Ishmaelites. Now these were cousins. And they decided to sell Joseph into slavery for 20 pieces of silver. You know whose idea it was? Judah's. Judah, he was the fourth son of Leah, the first wife of Joseph of Jacob. He was the fourth of six children through Leah. So he was Joseph's half-brother. And it was his idea, let's sell him and make a profit. And so they sold Joseph into slavery. Off to Egypt he went. And I'm sure you know the story, what God did for Joseph there. And then they tell their father, oh, he was killed by animals. See the blood on his coat. You know, it was animal blood. But they didn't have the capability of testing blood types back then, so they got away with it. And poor Joseph, or Jacob, was heartbroken. Judah and the brothers, though, went on living with it and soon put Joseph out of their mind. Judah got married, ended up having three sons. And that brings us to our text today. As was the custom at the time, fathers usually went and found a wife for their sons. And he found a young girl named Tamara. And he gave Tamara to his oldest son. Now, it was the custom that when a woman became a man's wife, she became part of that clan, of that family. But Judah's oldest son was an evil man. I mean, he was so evil that our text says that God killed him because he was so evil. See, we sometimes forget how involved in life God really is. And the oldest son, was so bad that God killed him. Didn't say how, but just God killed him. So Judah, doing what he was supposed to do for how they looked at things, gave her to his next son. But the next son wasn't happy about that. And for whatever reasons, God killed him as well. Well, now Judah is kind of spooked. And he's thinking, if I give my last son, who's not yet old enough to marry, to her, he's going to die too. So he talks Tamara into going home to her father's household to wait until the younger son was old enough to marry. Well, when the youngest son is named Shelah, was old enough, no way was Judah going to keep his word. She was technically, you know, by then, by the customs, part of his household, but he was excluding her. So he kept Shelah away from her. A little while later, Judah's wife dies. He's in mourning. But toward the end of his time of mourning, he decides to go to this particular town. And Tamar, who realizes now she's being cheated, makes a bad decision. She decides to deceive Judah. And so she goes to this town where Judah's going, and she disguises herself and lures him as he comes by. And he thinks, oh, well, this is one of these houses of ill repute, so sure, why not? And so he goes to her. He can't pay, so he gives her some of his tokens, a staff and some identification, and says, I'll send payment tomorrow and you to redeem these things. So that was fine. Well, the next day he sent payment, and she was not there, and no one knew who she was or where she came from or where she went. So Judah just writes it off. 3 months later, he finds out that his daughter-in-law, Tamara, is expecting. Well, now, this is unheard of. This is evil. She has betrayed her trust to the family. He's condemning her, and he says she now must be burned to death. That's his sentence. See, her father has no say in this. Judah does. But unfortunately, for him, fortunate for Tamara, she has his emblems, his information. And she says, pass this on to Judah. These are the things that belong to the father of my child. And when Judah sees his items, he realizes his error. And he says, she's more righteous than me. And by that, what he meant was, I'm the one who put her in that situation. My guilt is more multiple guilt than hers. So then after that, some interesting things happen. Tamara gives birth to twins, Zorah and Perez. Zorah, we don't hear too much about, but Perez, we hear a little bit more in Scripture. I'll talk about that in a moment. So why am I talking about this? Why does the Bible even mention this? It's because God has a message for us that no matter what our bad decisions are, God can still turn our lives around. God wants to forgive. That's why the message throughout Scripture has always been repent, repent, repent. Because if we repent of our sins, God will forgive. As I'm reading through right now, I've been going through Isaiah, and I'm in the middle of Jeremiah right now. I'm getting really tired of hearing God say, repent. And the people were so hard-headed that they wouldn't. They were content to live sometimes in luxury, sometimes in misery, but they just would not listen to God. But God's message always is, listen to me. Recognize, admit your mistakes, and come to me. I will forgive, and we will go from here together. And that's what happens. Judah, after this, is thereafter depicted as becoming more responsible of a man. He begins to become more of a leader within the family, not just in the negative way, but a positive way. When there's a drought and a great famine and food is running short, the brothers, the 10 brothers, are sent to Egypt to get food. And it's Judah who takes the lead when they approach the king of Egypt. Little do they know, who are they meeting? Their half-brother Joseph, who is now second in command of all of Egypt. They have no idea how God has blessed Joseph's life, taking him from being sold into slavery to now being second in command of all of Egypt. And then they go home, but now their food runs out again. They got to go back. But Joseph had said, you got to bring your younger brother next time. And Jacob says, no way, you're not taking the last of my favorite sons. And Judah says, I will protect him. They get to Egypt, and of course Joseph's going to play a little game with them because they don't know who he is yet. And Benjamin is compromised. And Judah offers himself in Benjamin's place. Judah had learned and had turned his life around. Then once all is revealed and now the whole family is welcome to move to Egypt, it's Judah who helps take the lead in moving the whole family to Egypt. Eventually, his tribe becomes the tribe where Jerusalem will be located, where the temple will be located. And eventually, that land, once it's carried off by the Babylonians, but it's the people of Judah that come back predominantly, now known as the Jews. And it's through the tribe of Judah that the Messiah is going to come. Judah had turned his life around with God's help. Now, the son of Tamar, Perez, he's the one that becomes more recognized. In fact, he's mentioned several times in the Old Testament, twice in the New Testament. Each time he's mentioned in regard to his family line, his family tree, his descendants. Each time he's mentioned, it's in a sort of reverence. He had grown up to be a positive influence on his children and his children's children right down through the generations. In fact, when you read in the book of Nehemiah, after the Babylonian captivity, Nehemiah had come back to help the Jews rebuild Jerusalem. Almost 500 of the people there are descendants of Perez, who helped rebuild the walls around Jerusalem, and then ultimately the temple. God had taken a young man born out of wedlock and had done amazing things in his life. We're not told what all God did. We don't know really all the details, except that he became someone to be admired and was admired by his descendants and recognized in Scripture by his name being mentioned a number of times. And that says a lot about Tamar, because we don't hear much more about Tamar at all. She gave birth to twins, but she had to have been, despite her bad decision, she had to have been a good mother in order to raise Perez to be the kind of man that he was. And she was so special in God's eyes, she became so special as she grew with him, that she is now mentioned in the book of Matthew as in the lineage of Jesus Christ. Perez is mentioned both in Matthew and Luke's account of the lineage of Jesus Christ. But Tamar is specifically mentioned in Matthew. Only four women are mentioned in the lineage of Jesus. Because see, when they're talking about lineage, it's always the men. Even in our day and age, it's primarily the men. You go to Ancestry.com and they generally do the research through the fathers. And then sometimes who they married, if the woman was someone who made some kind of significant impression. And I'll talk about that a little more in a moment. Tamar is mentioned in Matthew. When Perez is mentioned, whose mother was Tamar, she became special in God's eyes. And so the whole point of this is to encourage you and whoever, because a lot of people are listening to my sermons online, which really amazes me. So anyone who might be listening from our website, if you've made mistakes, you don't have to let your life be governed by those mistakes. You make bad choices, but you can leave those choices behind substantially by allowing God to work in your life and help you to be the person God wants you to be. Far too many young women have become mothers out of wedlock. And it's a tough row to hoe, say the right word. But it can be done, and God can bless and bring people into your life to make your life blessed. Sometimes women make bad decisions, and sometimes bad decisions come because the men in their lives make bad decisions. It might be someone that you're dating. It might be a relative. It might even be a husband who make bad decisions, and thus, accordingly, you make bad decisions. But God can turn things around because that's what He loves to do. His primary joy in all of human life is blessing people who want to love Him. Because He wants us to love Him and He wants to bless us unreservedly. That's His great desire, is to bless. So I don't know everyone's past, and I don't need to know. You know your own life. If you've been one that grew up in a nice home and love and married a wonderful guy and had a good marriage and raised wonderful kids and have had a great time and your mistakes are minimal, praise God. But if you haven't been quite so fortunate, that maybe a troubled home life, statistics say at least 1/4 of all households are violent. If you've had a difficult home life, if you've been with someone who is abusive or pushes you around, or you know, marry someone who is like that, God is always here to help and to improve our lives. There's always help from God to forgive and to lift and to bless. So whatever your past experience, whether you're here in this room or you're hearing this online, God loves you. And one of the songs we sang, I was so glad that Deanna picked it out. God is so good. God is so good because God loves you so much. God loves you. Never forget that. No matter how much heartache you might have experienced, or even now may still be experiencing, let God's love turn your life around. Right now, we're going to sing, "I Know Whom I Have Believed." And that's the key, isn't it? Is just knowing God and knowing that He loves me. And if I trust Him, then He can do anything in my life. See, this isn't just for the ladies. This is for us guys as well. You know, we're not so perfect. We've made mistakes. We've caused harm, as others have caused harm to us. That's life. But in all of it, it's God who loves us. And it's God who wants to give us life that is abundant now and forever. Don't let your bad decisions, don't let your mistakes hold you back, but allow God each day to set you free. Let's stand together, shall we, as we sing.